ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപാചകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശ്രീ 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 ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമശ്വരായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഗുരുദലേ ശ്രീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
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 ഓം അജ്ഞാന സുനിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജന ശരാകയ ചക്ഷുർമീതാംഗേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സാവിതാംഗേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപദാമഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാംബികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സഹജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം ഹരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവിം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവി ദേവി തൈതായാ കൃപാബ്ധയെ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ഗായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മുക്തയേ ദീനദാരിണേ രൂപാരൂപവിരുദ്ധാവസിദ്ധാന്തദ്വാന്തഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമുക്തയേ പ്രലംബരസാമോദേ പാദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തി സ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോ ഗൗരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേ സ്വം നിർദോഷ്ടാ സജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ നമ വാഞ്ചകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യാശ്ച കൃപാ സിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാസ്ത്രികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്താരാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതാം സുരഗോപാംഗോ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്യ പദാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനോ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീമദ്രാധാ ശ്രീരഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷാളിഭിഃ സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീപടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വരേർഗോപേർഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയസ്തു നാഃ
తప్తకాంచనగౌరాంగీరాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసవి గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
So we will now go back to Ishavanishad, where we stopped before, isn't it? After the first verse, there are total 18 mantras in Ishavanishad. As I said before, that Ishavanishad, the main point which Ishavanishad wants to tell us is the first verse. All other verses which follow that verse is only a supplementary verse to support that first verse. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purna Purnam Udachyate Purnasyam Purnam Adaya Purnameva Avashishyate. That is the invocation prayers to Shanti Mantram, they call it. Shanti Mantram for Isha Upanishad. Every Upanishad has a Shanti Mantram prior to the Upanishad begins. So, the first verse we looked at before, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, yat kincha jagatyam jagat, tena tetvena bhunjida, ma ghada kasu siddhanam. This is that verse we were discussing before, isn't it? So, we'll go back to that verse a little bit, because you might have forgotten everything now, what we have spoken about that, which I am pretty sure about that. Perhaps everything will be anew today again. Then we continue with the whole thing. Anyway, because the first verse is so important that we may have to come to that and discuss about that little bit before we get that flow back again into the other verses. So, Ishavasyamidam sarvam. What was that in the Upanishad saying to us? That it has two parts in that verse. Ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. That is one part. Then tena tektvena bhunjida maghrada kasya siddhanam is another part. What is that important difference between these two? In the first thing is that this particular mantra is an important mantra in the sense that it has everyone is attracted by this particular mantra, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. Because what Upanishad is telling us is that cover everything with Krishna. Everything is Krishna, Atma, soul, nothing else. Cover everything in this world with Krishna. Then, why is it like that? Because the soul by very nature, we must never forget this. Soul by very nature has no birth, no death. Soul by very nature does not go through birth, death, old age, disease. Soul by nature has no pious activity, sinful activity, pious action, liberation, bondage. All these things does not exist in the soul. Does not exist in the soul. Then where do they come from? This Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning, isn't it? As long as we have a subtle body, when the subtle body comes into action, all these things follow. Karmam follows, vasanas follow, liberation comes, bondage comes. All other things happen because of the presence of the subtle body inside. Isn't it? So, Krishna, the Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Upanishad is telling us that Ishavasa Vidam Sarvam. If you see everything in relationship with the soul, in other words, from the soul has come the creation, soul has come everything else. Originally that pure Krishna consciousness, Bodham, Avabodham it is called, isn't it? Sandrananda Avabodham, Avabodham. It is from that Avabodham that everything has come, and these two lines in this verse is only discussing about that soul, discussing about the soul. And in Bhagavad Gita there is discussion about liberation, bondage, everything. So if you accept that, these first two lines, Ishavasya Midam Sarvam Yad Kinja Chakatyam Chakat, the soul is present in everything. In other words, everything is nothing but soul manifested, and it has taken a different consciousness. That is why we experience that in different ways in the creation. All the trees, plants, birds, bees, and the whole creation itself is nothing but a transformation of the soul. Transformation of the soul. So, normally, because this understanding that knowledge of the soul is limited to anyone who is inquiring about the truth, who is inquiring about the truth. So, the principle is that Ishavasya Midam Sarvam. Sarvam. Upanishad is saying Sarvam. Everything is Ishavasya Midam. Cover that with the soul. Perception of the soul. If you do that, what it says is Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat. Jagat doesn't exist for others. Then nothing else exists in this creation. Nothing else exists in this creation. So, basically, all the Upanishad Mantram, what it does is that it is revealing to us the pure nature of the soul and removing our ignorance about the soul and things like hankering, lamentation, which is all caused by because of material existence, and remove and take that away and explaining to us the nature of the soul. That is what Upanishads tries to do all the time. This particular statement, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat, is to tell us this truth, that the soul has none of these things, what we consider as the miseries of material world. That means birth, death, old age, disease, hankering, lamentation, hunger, thirst, and all other kinds of ignorance, avidya, does not exist in the soul. Soul is free from everything. But then why do we experience it? Every day, all the time, that's all what we are experiencing. So, Upanishad is telling us that if you do this first thing, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat, cover everything with the soul, you will get release from that perception of the body and the mind. Including the body, mind, everything has come from the soul. Soul is the origin of everything. So, that knowledge of the soul is important. Knowledge of the soul is important. So, Jagatyam means in this earth, Yat Kincha, whatever you find, Jagat, moving and non-moving, Tadidam Sarvam, all of that is Ishavasyam, that Krishna is present there. Krishna is present in that. So, Vasyam means that also that you should cover everything with the soul. Cover everything with the soul. So, in all living entities, moving and non-moving, inside, who is present inside and who controls everything, with that personality or with that truth, we should cover everything. All living entities are functioning because of presence of the soul inside. And that soul, which is controlling each one of us all the time, under all circumstances, and if we accept that, or if we realize that it is presence of the soul in every living entity that matters, it will. If we realize that truth, then that experience itself is spiritual life. Why? They give the example that the sandalwood, if you put it in the water for a few days, it will start smelling very bad. It will start smelling very bad. You take out of the water and rub it on a stone.
and the pure cell of the sandalwood come back again. That's the nature of the sandalwood. Similarly, the soul which is trapped in this body, mind, intelligence is just like the sandalwood in the dirty water. And as long as we come out of this dirty, upadhi they call. Upadhi means mind, body, intelligence, ego, everything. If it comes out of that, and if it pure, if you experience a pure soul, pure consciousness, it doesn't have that bad smell of the mixing with the water. Sandalwood has mixing with the water. So therefore, everything is imposed on the soul. Everything is imposed on us. This is the most important point. Avidya, they call it, isn't it? Avidya means this ignorance in us that I'm this body, I'm this mind, I'm this intelligence, I'm this ego. This is all the avidya inside us. And because of avidya, what does Krishna says? I am the doer, I'm the enjoyer, and I have attachment, I have aversion. All these things are subsequent results of the identification with the body. Identification with the body. So, first thing Upanishad is telling us that what is superimposed on the soul. In fact, instead of seeing the soul, we are seeing the body, we are seeing the mind, we are identifying with them. And with the result of that, that avidya means that deep-rooted ignorance in us due to the identification with the body. And the result of that is kartratva bhoktratva. This world, according to Shastram, is only four things. Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Ragam, Dvesham. Attachment and aversion. If you combine all these four things, that is our world. Nothing else. Nothing outside that. Everything that's happening in day-to-day life is these four things. Kartratva, Bhoktratva, Ragam, Dvesham. That's all it is. So, Krishna, here, what does it mean? Now, this is where we have to little bit more careful. That Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, in the third chapter, Krishna began with a very wonderful statement. What is that? Krishna says there, if you look into that verses, in the third chapter beginning, in the second chapter, Krishna discussed the Sanghyam, isn't it? Sanghyam was discussed in the second chapter. Sankhya means Jnana Yogam. Practically, Jnana Yogam Krishna has discussed. And at the very end of that second chapter, I mean somewhere after discussing about Sthita Prajnatvam, that steadiness, steady intelligence as Krishna calls it, isn't it? Sthita Prajnatvam. Krishna spoke about the necessity of that Sthita Prajnatvam, and few verses Krishna spoke about karma. That means right up to the verse 54, Arjuna asked this question, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhista Se Keshava. And Sthita Dhi Kim Prabhashena Kim Asida Vrajeda Kim. From that verse, you can see that Arjuna's question about the what is the nature of a person who is situated in transcendence. In answer to that, Krishna spoke about the Prajahadi Yada Kama and Sarvan Partha Manoradhan. Atmanya Vatmana Tushta Sthita Prajna Stadachyude. Krishna says there that Prajahadi Yada Kaman, one whose all desires have gone from inside. And Sarvan Partha Manogadan, who has no more mind is fixed which arises, there is no more further plans in his mind. Sarvan Partha Manogadan. And when his mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, only in the self. This is what the point is. That Sarvan Partha Manogadan, Almani Eva Almana Tushta. It is a difficult thing to understand, isn't it? Almanyav Almana Tushta. This Ishavanishad is also saying the same thing. Ishavasam idam sarvam yad kinja jagatyam jagat. Means that Almanyav Almana Tushta. Then you have to be fixed in the soul. You have to be fixed in the soul. Only in the soul. Sthita prajnya staduchyade. Such a person is sthita prajnyatvam has come to him. To remind us that self-realization is such an important thing in spiritual, that is the goal of everything. To realize, Almanyav Almana Tushta, I am that spirit soul, nothing else. That is freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses, freedom from the intelligence, freedom from the ego, all freedom. All freedom. And to explain this better, when you go into the deep sleep state, in the deep sleep state, in Sushupti state, if you carefully wake up after waking up, if you carefully analyze what was experienced there, what was experienced there, exactly the same thing what Krishna is saying here, isn't it? That you lost your body, you lost your mind, you lost your intelligence, you lost your ego, everything, and you were in a happy state. You were in a happy state. That influence power, this Sushupti is the most important topic in Vedanta philosophy, Sushupti state. Perhaps we don't take it very seriously, thinking that, oh, when we start analyzing Sushupti from the point of view of intelligence, what will you say? You will say, oh, it's totally ignorance, and you will reject it, isn't it? Deep sleep. But deep sleep is the state should be studied in depth to know that, because sannyasam, today we talk about sannyasi, sannyasi, isn't it? Where did sannyasam come from? Sannyasam came from deep sleep. Do you know that? How it happened? I'll explain that. In the deep sleep state, what happens? We lose our body. We lose our mind. We lose our intelligence. We lose our ego. And we become happy. This is the experience of the deep sleep, isn't it? That I don't think we have to elaborate, because we all know that. That deep sleep, happiness in the deep sleep, what we experience, cannot be explained better. Just for example, say you went to sleep at 10 o'clock, fully exhausted, very tired, and you kept the watch alarm for about to wake up at about, say, 6 o'clock in the morning. And you wanted to have a good sleep, you went into a very deep sleep. By about 2 o'clock, something happened, some noise happened, and you woke up. And then you realized that there's nothing to do with you, some noise happened, it left like that. And you looked at the clock, it was only 2 o'clock. So you still have 4 hours left. You still have 4 hours left. As soon as you go back to bed, this is not a... this is not something to be understood in a mental level. You look at the importance of this point. As soon as you go back to bed and you go back to the deep sleep state again, what happens? There is no time there, there is no space there. You've gone back to that state, happy state which you were in before, in your deep sleep state. You wanted to go back to it again. You want to go back to that again. So when you were woken up, when you are woken up, the soul inside makes that decision that I do not want to go to this state, rather I want to go to the other state. It's that decision is made at that particular point in time inside to go back to that sleep. Why? Because it is in that sleep, deep sleep, that you are getting your all the energy back, all the experience or the happiness what you are getting from that. There is no substitute for that in the life. Say for example, somebody who has you have made the whole world as to one country, and you have made someone says to him, look, you be the controller or be the president of this whole one country, of the whole world, and for whole life, under one condition, that you should not sleep. He will say, no, I need my sleep, I don't want the president's job. That will be his answer, isn't it? He will never say that, okay, if you are making me president for the whole life, I will not sleep. He won't agree for that. So you can see that the value we give to that sleep, normally we think that sleep is such an ignorant state, I couldn't do anything. That is our mundane understanding. From spiritual understanding, it is in that deep sleep, so many things are happening. So here, that is Atmanyo Atmani Tushta. So what has happened because of this is, the rishis, the sages, they found out actual happiness comes from giving up, not by acquiring. This is from where sannyasa ashram came. So basically sannyasis are those people who have given up everything. No attachment to anything in this world, no interest in anything in this life, Atmanyo Atmana Tushta. So origin of sannyasam is from Sushupti. It is that prompted the sages to bring this sannyasa ashram into life. Sannyasashram. Sannyasashram's origin, Sannyasashram's origin is from Sushupti. Sushupti, they have learned this. The sages understood this. That not by acquiring, rather by giving up, you become happy. This principle. Normally in the world, in the material world, mundane level, what do? We want to become happy, so we keep on accumulating everything as much as possible. Isn't it? And we want to become happy. That's the goal behind it anyway. With that intention, we keep on expanding our accumulation in this world. We keep on getting as much as possible, thinking that each one of this is going to make me happy, and we go in that direction. That is in the mundane level. That's what we do. But sages found out that by giving up, we become happy. And that they learn from Sushupti. Now, what you have in that Sushupti state, if you can experience that bliss in the happiness in the vacant state, for which sannyasam has been created. So practically you can see sannyasashram is for giving up, not for acquiring anymore anything. Sannyasashram is only meant for that, not for acquiring anymore. That is what Krishna is also saying here, Almanyo Almani Tushta. Tasya karyam sthita pratnya taduchyade. That verse 55, Krishna says, Prajahadi yadha kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Almanyo Almani Tushta. Being situated on the platform of the soul, completely in the platform of the soul, Almanyo Almani Tushta. Which is what is spoken here also. That Krishna says in the very next verse also, you will see, Dukheshu anudvigna mana, sukheshu vigadaspraha, vidaraga bhaya krodham, sthitadhir muni ruchyade. Then Krishna talks various, few verses after that, about the nature of a person who is in that state. That is the subsequent verses. Yes, sarvat abhisneha tattat praya subhashubham, nabhinanda advaisa. We have seen all these things when we discuss the second chapter. So, in the second chapter, Krishna spoke about Jnana Yogam. Particularly, Jnana Yogam he spoke there. And at the end of that, Arjuna asked a question of a nature of a person who is in that state. And in answer to that, Krishna spoke about this. Almanyo Almana Tushta. Situated on the in the soul, in the spiritual state, platform of the soul. And the nature of a person, how he acts in that state, what his activities are. All that we saw in the second state, in the second chapter. And then Arjuna came up with this question, that what about karmam then? Isn't it? Karmam question came up. Krishna started karma yogam in the second chapter itself by talking about the nature of karma yogam. What is that? Four things Krishna talks about. What is that? Karmanya adhigarasi mabaleshu kathachana ma karma balahedubur madhe sangostakarmani. You got every right to do the karma, but you have no justification for the results. There is no link between the results and the karma. And you cannot stay without any karma. These four things, Chatur Sutram they call it. We talked about that when we discussed the second chapter. So, karma yogam, Krishna put a beginning to that in the second chapter. Now, Krishna knows that everyone will not be able to stay in the platform of the soul. Therefore, karma yogam, Krishna started there itself in the second chapter. And then Arjuna got confused. What should I do? Arjuna should do. Should I follow the process of jnanam? Should I follow the process of karma? When Arjuna writes, that is the beginning of the third chapter. Isn't it? In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins with Arjuna's question is like that. Jayasi cha karmanaste madabuddhar janardana. My mind is confused. My intelligence is confused now. Tatkim karmani ghore ma niyojayasi keshava. The whole of second chapter you are talking about self-realization and the knowledge. And then why you encourage me to fight this war, ghastly war? So then Krishna had to go through a little bit more deeper level and start explaining to Arjuna why he is asking Arjuna to fight. That's where the third chapter began, isn't it? So when the third chapter began, Krishna did not answer Arjuna straight away. Arjuna's problem was not discussed. Krishna wanted Arjuna to understand how these two different systems have come into existence. Which one? The process of knowledge and process of action. And that is how in the third chapter you will see there that Shri Bhagavan Vacha, in the third verse, ലോകേസ്മിന് ദ്വിധാനിഷ്ഠ പുര പ്രോക്തമയാനഖ ജ്ഞാനയോഗേന സാഖ്യാനാം കർമ്മയോഗേന യോഗിനാം. ആക്ച്വലി ദീസ് ആർ ദ ഓൺലി ടു പ്രോസസ്സസ്, ജ്ഞാനമാർഗം ആൻഡ് കർമ്മമാർഗം, ആസ് ഫാർ ആസ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത ഈസ് കൺസേൺ. ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദെയർ, ലോകേസ്മിൻ ദ്വിധാനിഷ്ഠ പുരാ പ്രോക്തമയാനഖ, ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ബീൻ എക്സിസ്റ്റിംഗ് ഫ്രം ടൈം ഇമെമ്മോറിയൽ, ദാറ്റ് ദീസ് ടു ക്ലാസസ് ഓഫ് മെൻ ദർ ആർ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദെയർ, യു ക്യാൻ സീ ഇൻ ദ ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ, ദർ ആർ ടു ക്ലാസസ് ഓഫ് മെൻ ഹു റിയലൈസ് ദ സെൽഫ്. There are two classes of men who realize the self. Some are inclined to understand him by empirical philosophical speculation, which is jnanamargam, and others are inclined to know him by karma yoga, karma margam. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. These are the two choices everybody has. This is where the whole spiritual life begins. It's from Krishna is taking us back to the very origin. From the very beginning, logesmin dvidha nishta pura proktam ayanaha jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. You see, when we don't go back into the very beginning, what will happen is suddenly if we take any Vedic literature and we think that this is the whole Vedic conclusion, then it will cause a little problem when other questions comes up from that. That's why we should always go back to the root from where it all began, from where it started. So Krishna is saying, Krishna's words are, Logesmin Dvidha Nishta, these two Nishta, these two different processes, Pura Proktam Ayanakha, it has been there from time immemorial. What is that? Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. You have only these two choices. You have only these two choices. So, here, Ishvamanishati is saying also that the first two lines is this Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam. If you are in the platform of the soul, then you have to take that into account that you have no action now to be done in this world. All action is finished. There is no action. Completely fixed in the platform of the soul, which Krishna is talking about Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam. There, karmam is not there for that person anywhere, and generally it is a sannyasam state. It is the sannyasam state. And as we saw, that very principle of sannyasam is this, that sages found out that in the deep sleep state, when you have lost everything, you lost your body, you lost your mind, you lost your intelligence and senses, ego, everything, and you are happy. In other words, you are experiencing the happiness. And that happiness is not the happiness that is experienced through the senses or the mind. It is coming directly from the soul. Directly from the soul. So, continuous experience of that happiness of the soul in the deep sleep, if you can bring that into awakened state, that is sannyasam. That is expected from the sannyasi. In other words, a sannyasi must experience that same bliss what he has experienced in the deep sleep. Sannyasam and deep sleep are very closely connected. Very closely connected. Because in deep sleep alone, that you are free from the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. All these are actually bringing down, bringing you into material platform. Isn't it? They are not giving you happiness. Practically, on the other hand, what does these things do to us? Mind, body, intelligence, ego and senses bring only misery. If anybody has any doubts about that, when we live in this world, you will know one day when old age comes, when disease comes and when death comes, no solution to this problem till now, and it will never be any problem to that. As long as these three things are there, there is no question of being happy in this world. It is not possible. When there is death, old age and disease standing in front of you, even if you have conquered the whole world, what is the use? At some point, you have to surrender to that, these three. Old age, death and disease. Rebirth, okay, if you may accept or not, that leave it behind. But that is why Krishna is saying, ജന്മം മൃത്യു ജരാവ്യാധി ദുഃഖദോഷാനു ദർശനം. വൺ ഷുഡ് നോ ആസ് ലോങ് ആസ് ദീസ് ത്രീ ആർ ദയർ യു കെൻ നെവർ ബി ഹാപ്പി. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് പോസിബിൾ ഇൻ സ്പൈറ്റ് ഓഫ് വട്ട് എവർ യു മേ ഹാവ്. You have everything, enough money, enough properties or wealth or family life, everything well, very well. But if these three are in front of you, in standing there, any time to get you, old age, disease and death, where is the question of happiness? This is the question Krishna is asking. Where is the question of happiness with these three behind you all the time? So, but in the deep sleep state, they have recognized that they have no body, so there is no death. There is no intelligence or mind, there's no chittavritti, and mind, intelligence is not causing any problems there. No sensual happiness, no false ego also, but you are happy. You are happy. When you have woken up from that state, from the deep sleep state, and came back to the vacant state, because intelligence are not able to report that properly. Why? Because there is this thing called avaranam. That deep sleep coverage there, that avaranam is covering that, and therefore you can't directly report that. Only a glimpse of that you have, only you can say is that I had a great time. I had a great time. So sushupti, sannyasam, they are connected each other. Sushupti and sannyasam are connected each other. Now that does not mean all sannyasi will go into deep sleep all the time. That's not what it means. What is expected is that state of sushupti should be there in their vacant state, in the sannyasi's life. The state of sushupti should be there in the vacant state. What is that state of sushupti? Always happiness being situated in the soul, in the platform. Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. That is that state. So if we are in the Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta, completely satisfied with the soul alone, not by acquiring wealth or acquiring followers, acquiring other things in this world. That is for the materialist. But spiritually advanced person, particularly in the sannyasa platform, that is what is expected from the sannyasi. Sannyasi. Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. So that is what here Ishopanishad is also saying, that in that state, Ishavasamidam Sarvam. Only Krishna is present in everything. That is the state, in the vacant state when you have to experience that. Yet Kincha Jagatyam Jagat. And cover the whole world with that understanding. Cover the whole world with that understanding. So here, such a person does not have any karmam to perform. Now, in Vedas, there is this karmagandam, isn't it? Karmagandam. Now, karmagandam is spoken for those people who are not in that state. Who are not in that state. Vedas have these three distinct branches. Jnanagandam, karmagandam, upasanagandam. Jnanagandam is this process. Karmagandam is related to what Jaimini spoke about, Karma Mimamsa. And Vasana Kandam is the bhakti side of it. So, then the Kartrutva Bhoktrutva, that is another important thing. Kartrutva, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And with that, what else happens? Namam Rupam Kriya, name and form and activities begin with that. And if we cover all of that with the soul, everything is coming from the soul, that is what is expected from this. That means a fully alert state all the time in our life in this world, that nothing else exists in this creation except the soul, to be constantly fixed in that platform while living in this world. So, in that process, for a householder, normally, this is about sannyasam now we see. For a householder, normally his attachments are classified into three. One is attachment to the lokeshana, that means a name in this world, the householder's desires. Also, it is referred as viteshana. Viteshana means to acquire wealth, that is a householder's business, isn't it? Then putreshana, attachment to the children. Putreshana, dareshana, viteshana. Attachment to the wife, attachment to the children, and what is known as attachment to the wealth, which is also another way, viteshana or lokeshana it is called. Eshanatrayam, that is what the word used, eshanatrayam. So these three things are there in householder's life. If a householder is able to come out of all these three And he is able to maintain this consciousness, what Krishna is talking about, Atmanyo Atmanatushta. He is as good as a sannyasi. So what differentiate between a sannyasi and householder, this is what it is. This is what differentiate. Sannyasi has to be fixed in the spiritual platform and should experience the same status of what he is experiencing the sushupti in the vacant state. He should come to that state. And because you can notice something there. In sushupti, you don't do anything, do you? You don't do anything there and you are happy. So sannyasi also has to be like that in the vacant state. Without doing anything, he has to be happy. But if sannyasi is distressed more than anybody else in the vacant state, then what kind of sannyasam is that? That sannyasam is not much of use, is it? So these in subtle things of this sannyasam's origin is from sushupti. From sushupti, sannyasana has come. Sushupti state is what you are actually transferring that into the vacant state. That is sannyasam. That is sannyasam. That without the help of anything in this world, you have to be able to stay happy in this world. Atmanyo Atmanatushta, in the platform of the soul. So you can see, before that happens, especially those who are coming from householder background, they should first get rid of all these things, which on Vitteshana, Putreshana, Dareshana, Logeshana, otherwise, the Eshanatrayam, when one is freed from that, then he can move into that state. That is the way Shastram has structured it. Shastram has structured in that way. So, so once you come to that state, then he has no right for karmam. Sannyasi has practically no karmam for him. In the practical life, sannyasi has no karma. Sannyasi has no karma. Tena tattvena dunchita. He says here, so at that point, you have given up this world, isn't it? You have completely given up this world. And by giving up that way, you are taking into the shelter of the soul. And you are saving the soul by giving up the world. That is the impression we will get. But because it is not practical, then even if you give up this world, it will not help you to realize the truth. So therefore, what it says is that even the world, what is there, you cover that with the soul. You cover it with the soul. So in other words, the spiritual reality is the only truth, which is what we refer to as the consciousness. Consciousness is the only truth. And that consciousness in different levels exists in this world in different forms. And if you give up all this world and you are situated on that platform of the soul, then the world will still disturb you inside. So instead of that happening, cover everything with the soul, and that realization inside that only the soul exists must permeate into the world also outside. That is the important point. What the Ishvanishas, these first two lines are so important that all the acharyas have commented on this for pages and pages discussing this. Why the sages spoke like this? Why the sages spoke like this? So their point was that in the second, third line, if you look, it says there that tena tektvena bunjida magrana kasvasiddhanam. It says there, isn't it? Kasasiddhanam, whose dhanam, whose wealth it is. Kasasiddhanam. In other words, it says here that you should not desire for wealth, anybody's wealth, as to think as your own. In other words, all that wealth what it is in this world is also the soul. What we consider as wealth in this world is nothing but the soul in another form. If you take that approach, that understanding, then you will notice that this desire for accumulation of wealth will go away. Wealth will go away. This is our material contamination, that acquire. But once we realize that tena tektvena bunjida was spoken for that, to understand the soul is present in the wealth also, what we consider as wealth. Wealth is only in our mind, isn't it? Otherwise, what is this wealth what we are referring to? It's in our mind, we have given some value to it, therefore it is wealth. Magrida kasasiddhanam. So, if we keep on seeing the presence of the soul in everything, that is obviously it means Brahman, realization of the Brahman. A presence of that in everything, this Veda Buddhi will go. Veda Buddhi means that seeing this is good, this is bad, this is useful to me, this is not useful to me. This is all mental concoction only, nothing more than that. In absolute platform, all this has no value. In our vyavaharam, we think, in our transactions in this world, we think money is such an important thing. But when death is standing right in front of you, what this money can do? Everything is finished in 1 second and gone, isn't it? That's why Vedantam give more importance to death and old age and disease rather than the wealth and money what you have in this world. Because if you compare these two, you can see one is dependent on the other, isn't it? Only if you have health, only if you have life in the, left in this world, all the other things have any value, is it not? So-called accumulation of wealth, accumulation of making building big empires. That's why Bhumi Devi says in the Bhagavatam at the end, isn't it? All these big men have come here and they wanted to control me, and I'm now laughing at them. They've all been dancing on my chest and they walked out one day, one walked out from here. They came here with big ideas. And she lists everybody there, including Raghu, Parashuram. All of them are listed there. She's saying, all these people wanted to control me. Where have they all gone now? She's asking. So, important thing is, even they had to die. You know in the Bhagavatam, Namaskandam, the 9th canto, continuously king's life, one king after the other, it talks about. Isn't it? Why is it like that? You have to look at that, this reason behind it. That what Parishit has to listen to all this king's history, one after the other. Tadatsuda, Talsuda, Tadatsuda, Talsuda, Tadatsuda, Talsuda. It goes on like a train, the whole verses in the 9th canto. Reason is this. All these kings who are present in this world, they were all powerful personalities, big men, big personalities, and even they had to go from this world to tell us that. So that to wake us up, that is the reality here. The only reality here is you have to go from here one day. That's the only reality. And we won't easily accept that reality. It'll hit us anytime. In different ways it can hit us, particularly old age, disease and death. Old age, disease and death. This is a question of time when it will happen. That's all. So when these three things, old age, disease and death, is standing in front of us like that, no matter how much you accumulate in this world, what value has it got? It's gone. It will be separated from anybody. So that is why it says that tena tektvena bunchida magrida kasvasid dhanam. That dhanam or wealth in this world, see that also as the soul that is present in another form here. That is soul present in the another form in this world. If we can see that, rather than allowing the mind and intelligence to pop in and start seeing, oh, this is what I need in my life, then it's very difficult for spiritual understanding. But Ishwamanitha's verse is speaking from a much higher level. It's saying to us, if you want to have spiritual realization, Ishavasyamidam sarvam, everything is the soul. Yat kincha chakatyam jagat. And tenatetvena bunchida, that if you want to enjoy it, keep on giving it up. That is the principle. Exactly like in the Sushupti state. Sushupti. Keep on giving it up and keep on enjoying it, he says. It may look strange to us. Normally, what do we say? Keep on getting as much as you can and keep on enjoying it. This is what we have learned so far. But Upanishad is telling us, keep on giving it up and keep on enjoying it. Otherwise, that purity will never come inside. This is the reason. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tektvena bunchida. So, why is it like that? Because there is nothing else in this whole creation except soul. Only soul exists. So therefore, what is not existing, we should not desire. There is no, in the absolute plane, there is no thing called cash or money or gold or jewelry or any such valuable things. All this has value only because we give value to it. When you go to the spiritual plane, where is the value for gold or where is the value for the jewelry? There is no value to anything, isn't it? But in this world, because we are so absorbed in the vyavaharam or transaction in this world, And the world has given value to all this. We also give value to it. We lock it up in the lockers and we protect it in every possible way we can from the enemies. And when we lose it, we cry. When you get it, you feel happy. All this is a part of the vyavaharam. It has nothing to do with the spiritual realization. No value at all there. So that's why, Ishavasam idam sarvam yatkinja jagatyam jagat. If you are in that state of detachment from this world, tena tektvena bhunjida, keep on giving up and enjoy that spiritual side. That is the principle. That means keep giving up. Giving up means what? Giving up means you can't give up anything in the sense. What's there is there, but see it as the soul's another form. Soul is present in that form of wealth, in whichever wealth, whichever you consider, whether it is cash or whether it is bank balance or whether it is gold or jewelry or property or whatever it is. If you come to understand that it is only the soul that is present, nothing else, this Veda Buddhi will go. Veda Buddhi means that Veda Buddhi comes from Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam develops this Veda Buddhi. This is profitable. And this is, that's how in our mind we analyze things, isn't it? In our Vyavaharam. But that is not knowledge. That is only transaction. That is not knowledge. We consider that as knowledge, isn't it? So, but once you move on to the Shastram, Shastram is telling us that on a spiritual platform, if you want to make progress, these things should not become a disturbance in there. So easiest way to close it is to cover that up with Ishavasam idam sarvam. It's all soul only present in that form. That knowledge should be inside. Et kinja jagatyam jagat. Tena tetvena bunchida. And if you want to enjoy on that spiritual platform, you have to give it up and enjoy it. Give it up and enjoy it, like in the Sushupti state. In Sushupti state, we enjoy because we gave it up, not by acquiring. This is the principle of Sushupti. Sushupti is teaching us that thing, that by giving up you can enjoy, not by acquiring. And from that principle, Sannyasa Ashram also came. So, Tena Tritya Mujha, Magrida Kasya Siddhanam. Magrida Kasya Siddhanam, if you look, it will say in the translation, knowing very well to whom it all belongs to. Now, ordinary person, when he reads it, what will he think? He will think, oh, it's Krishna's money, I cannot touch it. That's how you will think about it, isn't it? So, if you take it like that, then everything is Krishna's money. This is my money, Krishna's money is Krishna's money. If Krishna says, okay, you give me your checkbook, let me draw some money from your account, will we give you a checkbook to Krishna? You can't bring it to that level like that. It's not possible. It makes no sense then, isn't it? When you say everything belongs to Krishna, it is a very difficult statement in the sense that in a mundane level, if you look at it, you may say that, oh, some people will say, oh, this house is Krishna's house, I'm just living there. But have you transferred the deeds to Krishna's name? No. That you won't do. You will say, I'm living there, but it is Krishna's property. That is just a lip service. That's no use. Krishna's point is, what I'm saying is that when Upanishads talk something, we have to see what is actually covering it. What does it mean by that? In a personal level, you can say all that, oh Prabhu, everything belongs to Krishna. Your money is also my money, everything is Krishna's money. That also another approach is there. People taking everything and saying it's all. Prabhupada gave the example that once he came here to Heathrow Airport and Shyam Sundar arranged a helicopter for him to travel from Heathrow to Manor. And Prabhupada, as you know very well, how careful about money he is. For every penny, he will be so concerned if it's spent badly, not in a proper way. So, and they didn't have money at that time in the manor. They just got the manor from George Harrison, gave the manor and all that. But Prabhupada was so particular about spending money, and he wouldn't waste money anytime. So, when he saw these arrangements and all that, he says to Shyam Sundar that, who has arranged all this helicopter for me to come here? Shyam Sundar says, all your mercy, he says. So, was understood that the money has been collected in his name and it has been wasted in this way. He says, Prabhupada would have been very happy to come by a bus or by a tube to get manna. He would have been more than happy to come. That is the way Prabhupada is. But when he saw all these gorgeous arrangements for him to come, he was furious about that. And he said, this is how the disciples are. He said, they wanted to make it a big bash about that and spend the money freely to arrange a helicopter for Prabhupada to come from Heathrow to... Now, Prabhupada said also at some other time, it is up to us to understand it properly. Prabhupada also said, a spiritual master, you should treat it in the most royal way. You should give the best everything. But that doesn't mean you should do what pleases the spiritual master. You may have all the desires in your heart to serve him with everything. But what pleases him is that when you have managed the money properly, that's what will please him more than anything else. He would have been more than happy to come in a taxi or somebody has picked him up. Helicopter was unnecessary as he felt at that time. So anyway, that was, that's there. So why I'm saying this, Margrada Kasusid Dhanam. If you know that wealth is also important, it is not something to be looked down or given more importance than what it deserves. That soul is present in there. It is a soul that is present in the form of wealth also in this world. So if everything become... Because that is also not a real thing, this wealth, isn't it? Only for mundane world, in life in this world, it may come use to you. But apart from that, when you die, what value has it got? All this, or tomorrow, if the government declares the value of the money, like in the World War, it happened, isn't it? That the currency has lost its value and the German Deutschmark was floating all over the roads. Bundles and bundles of banknotes were lying there. And so it can happen like that anytime, which we very carefully think that. So the value we have given to it is based on our mind and the transaction in this world. Society gives value to it, and society is all ignorance, nothing but ignorance, isn't it? So they have developed a system, it has only that much value, nothing more than that. So whereas this verse is talking about something much more higher than that. Ishavasam idam sarvam etkinchi jagatyam jagat. Tenatektvena bunjida magrada kasasiddhanam. So, in that, the person who wants to advance on the spiritual platform, to be situated on that, he should protect the soul. He should protect the soul. That means spiritual consciousness should prevail all the time. And the first part of that verse, Ishavasam idam sarvam etkinja jagatyam jagat, the tattvam was spoken. That is the tattvam. And the third one, tena tektvena bunjida. Tena tektvena bunjida means that if he is not ready for that, for the what first two lines have spoken, tena tektvena bunjida, he should practice giving up and come to that state, the sannyasa state in other words. Perfect sannyasi is ishavasamidam sarvam etkinja jagatyam jagat. A person who cannot come to that, who is not in that state, he should follow the third line, tena tektvena bunjida, and come to the sannyasa ashram in that way. And the fourth one, that that how should that person should be, in what state, magrada kasasi dhanam. That means dhanam, wealth also, as I said, if you read the translation, it says, to whom it belongs to. The only thing what you have to recognize there is that the wealth is also nothing but the wealth soul in another form present in this world. For transaction purposes, soul is present in that form. Just like soul is present in the form of different material body in this world, different mind in this world, different living entities in this world, like the plants, trees, creepers, everything. That's all the soul that is present in that different forms. Similarly, soul is present in the form of cash, in the form of jewelry, in the form of gold. Otherwise, it has no importance. By thinking like that, Veda Buddhi will go. Veda Buddhi means this seeing this good and bad in everything. Remember, Krishna mentioned this in the Bhagavatam. He says that seeing something as good and bad itself is bad. Remember that? In the Akasha Skandam, Krishna says that seeing something as good and something as bad itself is bad. So that is Veda Buddhi in us, isn't it? Veda Buddhi in us. So in order for the Veda Buddhi to go, Krishna is saying here that he should be Magrida Kasya Siddhanam. That is why that verse is spoken in that way. Magrida Kasya Siddhanam. Not actually it is belongs to, but knowing very well what it is worth, in other words. What it is worth. What is this thing worth? This thing what we are considering as so valuable. Magrida Kasya Siddhanam. It is spoken in the verse Kasya Siddhanam, but the importance is stretched on this point that the wealth is only its value and it's also nothing but the soul which is present in that way in this. So, this first verse, Ishavasya vidam sarvam yatkinja jagatyam jagat tena tektvena bunjida magrida kasya siddhanam. There we have also talked about the soul. There's a lot we talked about it before. What is that? The soul has got ekatvam, yathatmyam cha atmana, shuddhatvat, apabavidhatvat, ekatvat, nityatvat, ashariratvat, sarvagadatvat, vakshyamanam. If you remember, we mentioned all these things. What are they? Shuddhatvat, it's always pure. That's the nature of the soul. Apabavidhatvat, no sinful activity can touch the soul. Egatval, that's unity in the soul is one. And Nityatval, it is eternal. And Ashariratval, soul has no body. Soul has no body. In our concept, soul is there, soul has got a body, isn't it? It is not like that. Soul has no body. Ashariratval, soul is not in contact with the body at any time. What it is happening is, avidya inside us, that subtle body, the vasanas, everything which has created this material body for us, this has created this impression in us that there is a soul inside and we are bound by the body. We are bound by the body. So, ashariratval, abhabavidhatval, sarvagadatvadi vakshyamanam. Sarvagadatval, it has freedom to go anywhere. It has freedom to go anywhere. Sarvagadatval, it is present there. We present only because of its presence. We are breathing, we are digesting and blood circulation, everything is happening in the body. Everything is happening in the body. And soul has taken that responsibility from us. It didn't give us that. Suppose soul has left that responsibility to us to check the breathing going on every minute. Suppose you have to look after your own breathing. That's just happening, isn't it? It's just happening inside the body. And whether you care for it or not, it has taken your responsibility from that. You are not responsible for that. Eating is your responsibility. You have to take responsibility to find some food to eat. Digesting responsibility has taken away from you. That soul is taken care of. Because when you have eaten the food, you don't watch, is it getting digested every minute? Are you observing whether it's getting, where is the food now? You don't even know where the food is. It has gone in, that's all. So certain responsibility, the soul has taken over itself. Certain responsibility is given to us. Very limited responsibility Krishna has given to us, but we may expanded it in a big way and made it we are responsible. So that's why it said Egatva, Shuddhatva, Ababa Vidhatva, Nityatva, Ashariratva, Sarvagadatva, the Vakshamanam. And then it's also said there that the Ishavasyam idam Ishtarit, that Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam and Ragadvesham, this is samsara. Material existence means all these four things, isn't it? So we talked about, we won't go into that now, that so that was the first verse we saw, and this is for a person who has knowledge of the soul, who has the knowledge of the soul, or who has taken spiritual life very seriously. So but you will see sometimes many people have difficulty in understanding the soul. All of us have the difficulty in understanding the soul. Sometimes people wonder, what is this thing called the soul? People ask that question, isn't it? Some people have come to understand people one by 10,000 part of the tip of a hair, the size of the soul. These things are there in the Upanishad spoken. So people start using the most sophisticated equipment to measure, how much will that be the size? 1 by 10,000. Actually, it's only a statement to tell us the subtle nature of the soul. There is no physical dimension to the soul anywhere given. But when it is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita also, you will see the tip of the hair. If you make it 1/10,000 part of that tip of the hair, that's the soul. So some people discuss this like this, that they say, oh, 1/10,000, the tip of the hair. So can we measure that? How much will that be then? And all this kind of... Actually, there is no meaning to that. Soul is not something you can measure in that way. So knowledge of the soul and that understanding and acceptance of the soul's potency, it takes time. And only by studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam and Upanishads, we'll come to understand that the soul is a very subtle thing till we accept that reality and we come to study about it, know, hear about it. And that's why you remember in the Kathopanishad and Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying there, Ascharyavat Pashyati Kashchidenam. It's always amazing, this thing called soul, isn't it? Thing called soul is always amazing, he says. Some people get it, some people don't get it. Some people hear about the soul whole life, but they never get it. Some people get it straight away. So, Ascharyavat Pashyati Kashchidenam. So, because it is like that, it's not so freely understood by people. In the Upanishad is saying here that one who does not have this capacity to understand the soul. Understand means one is not able to accept it. Some people are there like that. They can never accept the soul, presence of the soul. They don't believe that there is a thing called a soul in the body. They think that with death everything is finished. And if you ask them, how come we are living, and whatever logic you give it to them, they'll still find it difficult to accept the presence of the soul in the body. They'll say, we want the proof. We want the proof. And there are people like that, isn't it? There are, even scientists are there. Scientists are saying that all this is philosophy only. Where is the proof that the soul exists? They will ask that question. All the time they'll ask that question. And so therefore they are not willing to accept the presence of soul. So such people who are in that state, Upanishads have given another way for them. That is the second verse in the Upanishad. Because the first verse are purely addressing those who can accept the existence of the soul. Only for them it will work. Otherwise it won't work. Those who cannot accept the existence of the soul, addressing them or understand what the soul means, the second verse is spoken. So, what does it say? Kuruvanne veha karmani jijivi shechadam samaha evam tuina anyathe tosti na karma lipyade nare. Kuruvanne veha karmani jijivi shechadam samaha evam tuina anyathe tosti na karma lipyade nare. Kurvanneveha karmani jijivi shechadam sama. It says here that a person should desire to live in this world 100 years. He should desire, he says. Now, this is an interesting statement, isn't it? Somebody is telling you to live long in this world. Nobody need to tell us that. We will decide without asking us, we would like to live here as long as we can. But still, Upanishad is telling us like this, that kurvanne veha karmani jijivishe chadam samaha. Chadam samaha. I mean, hundreds of years you should try to live in this world doing karma, it says. Kurvanne veha karmani. Continue doing karma in this world and live hundreds of years. Evam toyi na. Evam toyi na anyathe tosti na karma lipide nare. If you do that by executing karmam and you desire to live in this world, karmam will not bind you. Nothing inauspicious will happen. Now naturally you have to understand that verse properly. Kurvanne veha karmani. There is, and ida anyatha na asti. It also says there that there is no other way for such a person. In other words, a person who finds it difficult to accept the soul, presence of the soul in the creation, and who thinks everything is matter, only he knows is matter. For that person, the choice left is that he should try to live as long as he can in this world, he desires to live, and execute the karma in such a way that if we do that, that karma will not bind him. This is another state in the human society. You have to look at, Upanishad is addressing people in different levels. So, here you will notice one thing. Evam toina anyathe tosti. Anyatha na asti. It means that there is no other way, which means that karmam, what we execute in this world, should be performed according to the Shastram. In other words, according to the Shastram. Karmam has different Nitya Karmam, Naimitya Karmam, this classification list. Nitya Karma means certain things what you have to do every day based on the Shastram. Based on the Shastram. Every day what you have to do. For example, waking up in the morning and performing your morning duties and living a life of dharma, spiritual life in this world, based on certain honesty, truthfulness and austerity and simplicity, and what Krishna says, certain qualities in a person, a human being must have, Krishna says. So all those qualities, living a life like that and executing one's karma in such a way that the karma does not bind him. That means it should be performed as karma yoga. In other words, it should be performed as karma yoga. So if you do like that, even if you execute karma in that way for 100 years, na karma lipyade nare, he says, isn't it? Na karma lipyade nare. That karma will not stick. Will not stick on you. Otherwise, karma will stick. Karma, very nature of karma is it will stick. It will stick on everybody, isn't it? How does it stick? It creates vasana. As soon as it's created vasana, that means you are stuck with the karma. That in order to finish up that vasana, you have to perform that karma again. That means another body again. So that cycle will continue. So Krishna is saying here that the a person who has not accepted the soul, who is very much on the level of the body and the matter, such a person, he should live to the maximum 100 years, which is supposed to be the lifespan, and he should live that life executing karma. Normally that karma, when Upanishads are referring to the Vedic sacrifices, like Agnihotram and all the other Nitya Karma, daily karma, Naimitya Karma. For example, one has, based on the Vedas, this is, that one has duties towards the forefathers in the form of Shraddha ceremony and all that. That is all a part of that. But Nitya Naimitya Karma and living a life of simplicity, austerity, truthfulness, all that is a part of that. So, important thing is that while living in this world, he should be engaged in karma. Karma should be performed, but that karma should be able to free himself from the, it should be executed, that it does not create vasanas inside. Na karma lipyade nare. So this is the option given to those who are not ready for, who are not willing to accept the presence of the soul in this creation. So you can see there, when Krishna spoke that in the Bhagavad Gita, Lokesmin dvivida nishta pura prokta mayanaga jnana yogena sanghyanam karma yogena yoginam. This jnana yogena sanghyanam are those who have accepted the soul, who can accept the soul. They have no problem with that. After complete accept, they know the soul exists and the soul has and then they take it further from there to the higher level of self-realization. But karma yogena yoginam, but who cannot be in that state, they are the karma yogis. This is why we say that the solar dynasty was based on jnanam. It's completely based on jnanam, Ramchandra's dynasty. The lunar dynasty is based on karma yoga, karma, which is Krishna's dynasty. So Krishna is saying to us that these two things always existed. And Ramchandra appeared in the solar dynasty, Krishna appeared in the lunar dynasty. Isn't it? Krishna gave us Bhagavad Gita. And for the solar dynasty, they were all jnanis. All the kings were great jnanis. All of them were great jnanis. So like you can see, as I mentioned before, the ninth canto, all those kings, to prove a point to us that all these great men were here in this world. They have all gone. They have all gone from here. They also couldn't stay here. They were all great people, but they also couldn't stay here. So to tell us directly that you also won't be able to stay here forever. And as long as these three things, old age, disease and death, these three things are there, there is no question of perfect happiness in this world. It is not possible. You may have everything in this world, but as long as these three things, old age, disease and death, is right, standing in front of us, every one of us, it's there. So where is the question of happiness? This is the question. Bhagavadam is asking us that question. So, anyway, so first mantram talked about sannyasi, who is what is known as jnananishtha. And in the second mantra, one who has no strength for jnananishtha, for him karmanishtha, or karmanishtha. So how do we know that? Here, Upanishad is saying to us that only a person who can execute karma in this world, that is that karmanishtha. Karmanishtha means one who can execute karma in this world. So in the first mantram, it was said that to see everything Ishwara Bhava. Ishwara Bhava means that Krishna's presence in everything, or the soul is present in everything. And in that way, you won't give importance to the name and form, Namarupa. Isn't it? Namarupa Vihaya. Upanishad says, Bhagavatam also says exactly the same word. Namarupa Vihaya. Namarupa means that Veda Buddhi developed due to Namarupa. Is it not? Veda Buddhi in us developed due to Namarupa. Namarupa means name and form. A person in a particular name and particular form, you develop a certain raga dvesham towards that person. Isn't it? This is how everything happens. Anything in this world has got a namarupam, name and form, and you will develop ragadvesham towards that. So once you have namarupam, there will be ragadvesham. So you have to, in order to give up this namarupam, name and form in this creation, that is why ishavasyam idam sarvam. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. So in that way, you have to save yourself. You have to save yourself. Because attachment of namarupam means ragadvesham. Ragadvesham means kartrutva bhoktrutvam. All these things will develop. All these things will not help us in self-realization. They are obstacles to that. So to save the soul, when we say save the soul, what it means is that to experience that pure nature of the soul, identity of the soul, this namarupam and kartrutva bhoktrutvam ragadvesham must go from a person. So, and somehow the other, what it says is that Veda Buddhi must be given up and we have to save the soul. So, it also mentions there, you can also understand it this way, that you should not desire for anybody else's wealth. Isn't it? It says there that Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkinja jagatyam jagat tena tektvena bunjida magrida kasya siddhanam. So, magrida kasya siddhanam, if you look at the translation, you'll see that you should not desire anybody's wealth, knowing very well to whom it belongs to. It says like that. Now, generally, if you translate it, you can say that, oh, it's all Krishna, so I should not desire. But you won't be able to take it like that. What you'll have to accept it here is that for execution of karma, money will be necessary. Money will become a necessity. And this desire to live for 100 years is only for one who is in the Karma Yoga platform, not in the Jnana Yoga platform. There is a difference there. That's a very subtle difference if you think about this. In Jnana Margam, what exists really? The soul, isn't it? There, it's not important whether you exist here or not. It's not important thing. Wherever, for them, there is no time, space, material body, all these things, identities have gone away from inside. So in that state, jnanam state, realized state, or who is progressing in that path of jnanamargam, for whom there is no karma, he is free from all these things what is spoken in the second verse. Second verse is telling us, you should desire to live 100 years in this world. You can't say that to the person in the first verse. To the sannyasi who is ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kinja jagatyam jagat. For him, 100 years, 500 years, 1000 years doesn't matter. Because he's already in the state of that realization of the soul. He's already there. And he, for him, whether he live 100 years or 500 years hardly makes any difference. But for a person who is attached to karma, who cannot accept the soul, means that he is attached to karma. You can't stay in another state, isn't it? Otherwise it's complete tamoguna it is. That you have no knowledge of the soul, which means you will be naturally attached to karma, performing karma in this world. So here, it says here, that jnanam adhikari, adhikari means one who has the, one who is qualified for that knowledge of the soul, for him, it is, instructions are different. What's the instructions for him? Instructions to him is that you should neither desire to live nor to die. That is their state. Their state is like that. To any, you will never say to him that, oh, you live 100 years. You don't bless him. Oh, you live for a long time, hundreds of years. It doesn't make any sense to that person. For him, there is no desire to live. There is no desire to die. It makes no difference to him. And other instructions to him, he should go and live in a place where he does not be affected by any sense desires. Any sense desires. In other words, relationship with the, for a man, opposite sex with women, attachment to them should not develop in the heart. Because to stay in that. So many of Krishna's instructions you will see like that. In the Bhagavatam also you will see that a person who has come to pure spiritual platform, he should free himself from all this state, from all this bondage. That having said that, and does it mean that jnanam, one who is qualified that knowledge of the soul, and he for him is given all these instructions, that no more attachment to, he is already seeing, jnana yogena sankhyanam, he is already in that state, that he is seeing that he has no desire to live or die, nor he has any desire for any other gratification. Complete vairagyam inside has come to him. So, here you will, that it says here that you cannot think that the result of a person who has come to the second verse, what Krishna says, sorry, Upanishad says here as the kurvan neveha karmani jijivishe shadam samaha evam tvainam anyade tosti na karma lipyade nare na karma lipyade nare. So jnanam, when knowledge develops in a person, what happens? First thing is hankering and lamentation stops. Hankering and lamentation stops. You remember this thing called Shadurmi. Shadurmi means the six waves attacking us all the time. So freeing ourselves from that is hunger and thirst, old age and death, and hankering and lamentation. As long as we are in identification with the body and the mind, these six things will be there. These six things will be there. You can't escape from that. Shadurmi. That is because of our identification with the body and the mind. So, when that ignorance is gone from us, avidya has gone from us, what will be the state in us? It says here, ko moha kaha shoka egatum anupashyate. There is a verse in the egatum anupashyate. It says like that. Egatum anupashyate. Ko moha kaha shoka egatum anupashyate. I think that comes a little later. In other words, Krishna will say this. All these verses are connected to each other. If you ko moha kashokaha egatum anupashyate, there is a verse which comes seventh one, you see. Tatra ko moha kashokaha egatum anupashyate yasmin sarvani bhudani atmavat atmaiva bhud bijanata తత్ర కో మోహ క శోక ఏకత్వం అని పశ్యదే. దాట్ ఈస్ ది వర్స్. సో ఉషోపనిషత్ ఈస్ సేయింగ్ దట్ ఎస్మిన్ సర్వాణి భూతాని, ఇఫ్ ఎ పర్సన్ హెస్ కమ్ టు దాట్ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణస్ ప్రెసెన్స్ ఇన్ సర్వాణి భూతాని ఇన్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్, ఆత్మైవ అభూత్ విజానత, హీ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ సీయింగ్ ద సోల్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్, దట్స్ ఆల్ హీ ఈస్ సీయింగ్ దేర్. Then tatra ko moha ka shokaha, for him there is no moham, there is no shokam, egatvam anubhashyata, he is only seeing the oneness of the soul in everything. So this realization, he says here that the that these two processes, jnana margam and karma margam, which we have spoken, so one is called pravritti margam and the other one is called nivritti margam. Nivritti margam is jnana margam. Pravritti margam is the karma margam. Pravritti margam. If you look into creation also, you will see the same thing. When Brahma created Kumaras, the four Kumaras, they were instructed in the jnana margam. That is why when Brahma asked them to start creation, they refused straight away. Isn't it? They refused. Why did they refuse? Because they were initiated into this jnana margam. They refused. No karmam for us. They kept away from that. When Brahma created the Prajapati, Kashyapa Prajapati, Mariji and all that, you will see they were created for procreation. They entered into karma marga. They entered into karma marga. But they followed the Vedic injunctions on karma. Kardama Prajapati, people ask this question, isn't it? Kardama Prajapati, why he got married if he was realized? No, he was created for that purpose. So all the Prajapatis accepted that. All the 10 Prajapatis are there. So Mariji, Aritri, Angiras, Pulasti, Pulaha, Kradu, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Dakshasya, Dashamat, Tatra, Narada. Out of that, except Narada Maharshi, all of them were entered into householder life. Kashyapa Prajapati had Aditi and Didi Devi. Isn't it? Mariji married, Pulasti Maharshi married, Pulaha married, Kradu married. All of them married. So they followed the karma margam, pravritti margam. Four Kumaras, they followed the Jnana Margam. So there itself, this split has happened in the beginning. The split happened there itself. One followed that route, another one followed this route. And when it came to this world, it came in this form, Surya Vamsham and Chandra Vamsham. Solar dynasty and lunar dynasty. And those who followed the Surya Vamsham, all the kings, they were all Jnanis. They were into Jnana Margam. And those who came in the Chandra Vamsham, they were all yogis, karma yogis, in other words. So that is how it has happened. So you will see this same instruction from Vedavyas to Sukadeva Goswami also. He spoke to him about this. Dva vimavada panthanam yatra veda pradishtida pravarti lakshanam dharmam nivrtascha vibhavida. That two processes is always existing from time immemorial. So after saying that, now that is the second verse talking about. The second verse is talking about. Now there are people who don't belong to either of these two. Isn't it? They have no interest in jnanam. They don't want to follow the karmam either. That is another category in there. And for them is the third verse. Asurya namade loga andhena tamasa avrata తాంస్తే ప్రత్యాభిగచ్చంది ఏకే చాల్మహనో జనాః. అసూర్యా నామదే లోకాః అంధేన తమసావృతా తాంస్తే ప్రత్యాభిగచ్చంది ఏకే చాల్మహనో జనాః. హి సేస్ అసూర్యా నామ. అసూర్యా నామ మీన్స్ ది అసురస్. అసుర మీన్స్ హూ ఆర్ ఇన్ టు సెన్స్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్. తే లోకాః, దేర్ వరల్డ్ అంధేన ఈస్ డార్క్. The world is very dark. Tamasa, by darkness, it's, what is that darkness? Ignorance. Tamasa, ajnanam. Avrudaha, it's covered by that cover, a sheath of ignorance. Ekecha janaha, all those people, almahanaha, they are killing the soul. They are killing the soul. Now, this is a statement which people find difficult to understand. You can't kill the soul. So, what do they mean by that? Killing the soul. Te, those people, pretya, after they have given up this body, then they will accept the bodies abhigachandi according to their karmam and knowledge, they will accept different bodies. According to their knowledge and the karma, they will accept the another body. So, Asurya Namate Loka Andhena Tamasavrita Tamste Pretyabhi Gacchandi Eke Chatmahano Janaha. So, here Upanishad is saying, first verse spoke about those who are on a spiritual platform. Ishavasimidam Sarvam. Second verse, Upanishad spoke about, is about Kurvanne Veha Karmani, those who are not in the platform of the soul, but who have still propensity for karma, who are not free from karma yet for them. And but though they have not accepted the soul, but they are following the discipline of the Vedic injunctions, in other words. They are willing to follow Vedic injunctions. For them, the second verse, Kurvanne Veha Karmani. They should perform karma, follow the karma, process of karma yoga, and free themselves from the body at some stage. They will also come to the first stage. Then the third verse, Asurya Namate Loga, Andhena Tamasavada. That those who have fallen into that state, for them, what is the solution? That is what it says. Loka andhena tamasavrda tamse prithyabhi gacchandi. So here, who belongs to this? Who belongs to this? Including the devas, demigods also. Even demigods wants to enjoy, isn't it? They enjoy on a different level in the heavenly planets. In this verse, they are also referred as asuras. Asuras are those who have no desire for spiritual life, intense desire for spiritual life, because they are also covered by avidya, ignorance. Avidya is there in them also. Among the demigods also, there is avidya in them. Avidya is still present there. That means, without knowing the self, without realizing the self, and experiencing the qualities of the soul. What is the qualities of the soul? Qualities of the soul as, soul doesn't experience old age, disease, death. Soul is eternal. Without experiencing all those things, if you leave the body, you are as such a person is called the killer of the soul. Such a person is called the killer of the soul. One who leaves this body without experiencing the characteristics of the soul. Characteristics of the soul is that we are eternal, blissful, full of knowledge, self-realization, in other words. Anyone who has not kept that as the goal of life and lived a life in this world, that person is killing the soul. You got an opportunity to realize the truth. You didn't utilize it. That means you have killed the soul. That is how you have to understand that. Killer of the soul, killer soul doesn't die. There's no question about killing the soul. It is not that kind of killing what we refer to. It is killing means that the soul is not able to experience its joy, happiness, what it is pure, blissful nature. Rather, it has to accept another material body again. That is killing the soul. To pack it back, put it back into another body again, having given an opportunity to escape from that, without utilizing it, if you force the soul to accept another body again, that is killing the soul. That is how you have to, Asurya Namate Loga, that's what that means. Andhena Tamasavrita, then he is experiencing, he is dark, he is already blind. In other words, their case is concerned, the soul is dead, as good as dead, in other words, isn't it? So they are degrading themselves. So after obtaining this human form of body, without cultivating spiritual knowledge, and without trying to progress on the spiritual path and realizes the truth, those who are simply absorbed in sense gratification in this world and performing all kinds of activities just to live in this world, just to maintain this body, such a people is referred in this category. This verse is referring to them. Those who are not trying to cultivate spiritual knowledge, those who are not trying to free themselves from the cycle of birth and death, and not following through either of the first or the second process, what is spoken before, simply living in this world to eat and sleep and to enjoy life here, such a person is called here as the killer of the soul. Killer of the soul. So, so such people, they have to come back to material existence again. Samsaram will continue. And realized personalities who have realized the soul, they will escape from this. They will escape from this world. They will escape from this world. So, here, that... you have to only take it like this. Asurya namate loga andhena tamasa vrata. All it means is that if you have come to that state of life in this world where you have no desire for spiritual life, no desire for self-realization, but simply want to live in this world, eating, sleeping, business only, if you maintain like that, that is that what called it as Asurya namate loga. That's the world that Upanishad is talking about. Asurya namate loga andhena tamasa vrata. Isn't it? Asurya namate loga andhena tamasa vrata. So, here it says, the killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. Full of darkness and ignorance. So, Asurya namate loga andhena tamasa vrata. What it means is that it's not that another planet somewhere else where all the faithless people are put together. No. Right here itself, you will be in that state. Andhena tamasa vrata. You are completely covered by the blindness of the tamagunam. Tamasa vrata. Tamasa vrata. Tamasam tamagunam is covering us so powerfully that you are already in that world here, right now, in this world. Those who have not gone to the other processes. So, known as the world of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. And that world is darkness, isn't it? When there is no spiritual realization and spiritual life for a person, he is in darkness. He is in darkness. And he has to live in that state for a long time before he comes out of it. When he has not cultivated any spiritual understanding of life. That's why it mentions like that. So, and he says, andhena tamasa vrata, is blind, is blind. Tamste prati abhigachandi ekeja atmahano jana. And abhigachandi, so then he has to only accept a body in this world according to his karma. That's what he will get here. In other words, that avidya in him is so strong that all he will get here based on his karma, whatever results he is entitled to, he'll get it. Say, suppose he has performed some good activity, he may get a better body in this world. But still, he is an asura. He has not come out of to inquire about the soul. So long as a person is completely absorbed in the material body and maintaining this body and enjoying this world, whether he is a rich man or a poor man, doesn't matter, they are all asuras. They are all asuras. He hasn't come to the understanding that either through jnanam or through karmam, he should progress on the spiritual path. That understanding hasn't come to him yet. He is still thinking, I am this body, let me enjoy the body. That's the third category. So, Asurya Namate Loga is that third category. After Jnana Margam and Karma Margam, the third category of people who are stuck in the body and the identification with the body. For them, everything matters is this world. How we live here, how comfortable we are here, and no faith in anything that there is a life after death, existence of the soul, karma, all these things don't matter to them. There are people like that, isn't it? They don't have any faith in any of these things. They simply believe that we should live in this world. While we are here, we should be happy, and we should do anything that to make ourselves happy, enjoy life as best as we can. So this principle, that is Asurya Namate Logam. Andhena tamasa vrata. So, after saying that, and after giving that, that means, Krishna, the Upanishad's point is, you've got a human body. And if a human body is wasted in that way, simply to maintain the body in this life, it is a very bad bargain. It's a very, very bad bargain. Krishna has given a very nice body where you can cultivate spiritual life, either through jnanam or through karmam. But you have rejected all of that. You have no faith in the soul. You have no faith in the existence of the life after death. You have no faith in the influence of the karma. No faith in karma or loss of karma. In other words, practically no acceptance of anything what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. And that category of people which Krishna puts in the divine and the demoniac nature, that demoniac nature is this what he is talking about. In that demonic nature also, there are they will follow the laws of the society. In the society, whatever society tells them, they will follow. Because they have to survive in the society. But Shastram they won't accept. They will be very respectful towards the society, but Shastram they will not accept. That is their nature. These Asuryas. Asuryas are like that. Asurya Namadhi Loga Andhaina Tamasavrata. So, that is that. So, then, those personalities, Krishna spoke before, that they are, because they have killed their own soul, they will become samsari. Samsari means they will come into material existence again. Whereas the others who have realized the soul, they will become liberated. Krishna, the Upanishad says that, isn't it? The Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yatkinja Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tektvena Bunjida Magrana Kasu Siddhanam Jnana Margam, spoken there. Then Kurvan Neveha Karmani, that second verse, spoke about the Karma Margam. Both of them will get liberated one day because they are following the process, Jnana Margam or Karma Margam. They will follow the process. This one, Asurya Namate Loga, there is no possibility for them to get liberated. They will continuously keep changing their bodies, keep coming back to the material body one after the other. So, so here in the next verse, Krishna is, Upanishad is saying to us that one part, because they have never understood the truth, never accepted the soul, they came into material existence. The other part, who have come to God to liberation, both of them are part of that the same soul, Atma Tattvam. And the nature of that Tattvam is spoken in the next verse. Nature of the Tattvam. Anicha Deham Manaso Jeviyo Naina Deva Apnuvan Purva Marshal Tadhavado Anyana Dedi Tishta Tasminapo Madarishwa Dadhadin. Here, Anicha Deham Manaso Jeviyo Naina Deva Mapnuven Purva Marshad Tadha Vado Nyanatye Ditishta Tasminapo Madarishwa Dadhadi. That means that Brahma Tattvam. That Tattvam, Anejat. Anejat means which has no movement, is always steady. That spiritually realized state where the self realization has happened, that state is always, you are talking about, that the sannyasis who have followed the Jnana Margam and reached that state, and the karma yogis who have followed the other process and they have also reached that state. That state is spoken. What it is then? That it's always the same, in the same state. Ekaha. And that thing which is present in every living entity as the soul, manasaha. And it's faster than the mind. It's faster than the mind. The soul is faster than the mind. Why considered faster? Mind is considered to be the fastest, isn't it? For example, think about this, that mind sitting here, say we think about New York or Washington from here, and if you had been there somewhere, in any place, although it's thousands of miles away from here, the mind can take you there. That fast is the mind. Mind is considered to be very fast, isn't it? Speed of the mind, they say. So, faster than that mind is that is the soul. Faster than the mind is the soul. The soul's presence there, soul can experience while being here, it can experience what's happening there. Quicker than the mind. Javiya. And so therefore, this tattvam, devaha. Devaha means devas. Devas means, generally in Upanishads, when deva refers to always the senses. All the senses are the demigods in the body. All the senses are the demigods in the body. Na apnuvan. They have not experienced that. Purvam arshad. Because it has gone beyond than that. Senses cannot reach that state, in other words. That Brahmam, tat, tishtat, that it is staying in that way, dhavadaha, it runs, anyan, it goes beyond the mind and the senses, the power of the soul. Actually, because we don't understand or we don't experience the soul, we also do not understand the power of the soul, isn't it? When we discuss Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, so many things spoken about the soul, everything on a very subtle level, to make us aware that the soul has certain potencies which we can't even think of in our state of mind. At the moment we are thinking everything through the mind and intelligence, isn't it? That's how you perceive things. And nature of the mind is to measure everything. Mayam. That's what it's called. Mayam. To measure. If mind can take something, it will take. If it can't take it, it will go to sleep. Isn't it? Remember, mind we talked about. Mind is vikalpam, kashayam, sthiti. Kashaya sthiti. Or layam. Vikalpam, kashayam, layam. Three states. So, vikalpam is this. Constantly thoughts coming. Anything you see in this world, immediately what does the mind do? First thing, mind will measure it up to understand it. Say you meet a person, you will try to understand that person. Where is he coming from? How? What's he doing? And how big is his family? A little bit you try to size up the person, as they say, isn't it? Size him up. All this is in human nature. It's there in everybody. So that is called that nature of the mind. And if, same thing, when you talk about any subject, if you keep speaking, mind will try first to understand. The mind can capture it, it will take some interest. If it can't capture it, what will happen? It will go to layam, sleep. Straight away, he'll fall into sleep. So layasthiti comes like that. This is why mind can only stay in these one or two states. Kashayasthiti, layasthiti or vikalpam. Kashayasthiti is that sometimes you go off mood completely. You just no interest in anything what's going on. Or feeling a little bit of depressed about things. Nothing is happening, there's no interest in life. Or there's nothing to look forward to. Such a state, isn't it? Such a state. It can happen to anyone. And it doesn't happen every day. Sometimes it comes like that. And when it comes, what can you do? At that point, you try hard to come out of it. Because there's nothing, from nowhere, any inspiration in life to live in this world. When that happens, it's very difficult. Isn't it? So that is kashayasthiti. That is also another state of the mind. Another state of the mind. Or sometimes if everything going very well, oh, you want to do everything in this world. The top of the world, as they say. So want to do everything. You are in complete control of the situation. You feel at least an illusion. You think that you are in complete control of the situation. And suddenly something else comes, blasts the whole thing off. The whole thing is gone. So this way, this is how life goes on every day, isn't it? But in all these things, if you observe the mind, you will see that the mind is always trying to get control of the situation. Mayam. Mayam means to measure everything. To get some control on everything. This is the nature of the mind. But, and similarly, mind does it through the help of the senses. Mind does it through the help of the senses. So these two things to work together, mind and the senses, in this process. So it's like you've seen something with the eye, and the mind starts the function and then starts reviewing it and evaluating everything like that. Similarly, if you eat something, the mind evaluates the food, the taste of it, everything. Similarly, if you have touched something, the mind evaluates whether it was a good thing to touch or not. Or if you heard something, the mind does whether it was a nice thing what you heard. So senses and the mind together, this is the only thing what we are doing throughout the day. Now what it says here in this verse is, that Javiya means it is so fast the soul that it can bypass this mind, senses and all, get in front of ahead of everything. Tasmin, therefore, that soul which is in that state, that is the Chaitanya Swarupam. Chaitanya Swarupam means that the living force, which is the soul, in there, that the energy that is coming from the soul, Madhurishwa means that air, that is circulating within us, which controls our actions in this world, it works much faster. It works much faster. Because it is a subtle thing, it's a little difficult to understand also. It is not the, what it means is, that through your mind and senses, what you are taking time to mind, for the senses to give you an experience of a sense object, and the mind to evaluate the way in which the mind does things, which means the way the mind experiences and try to understand things. Yeah. So the mind has that nature, trying to bring it under its capabilities, isn't it? Only then you can experience that. This verse is saying that the soul on its own has a potency which is much beyond the potency of the mind and the senses. What is that potency? It says here that because that Atmatattvam, it's called Atmatattvam. Atmatattvam means that the consciousness, in other words, it is because it never changes. That's the first thing. By very nature, it is steady, isn't it? And it is the same one who is present in everything, who is present in everyone. And because he is like that, he is faster than the mind, which has got all the sangalpam in there. Mind has got sangalpam, isn't it? Sangalpa vikalpam, mana. That's the definition. What does mind do? Mind creates one sangalpam about something. Say, for example, you want to go from here to manor. And you decide you want to go. And then mind will give you some option. Should I take this A5 or should I go through the other side? Maybe the traffic is less. If few minutes it takes to make that decision. Few minutes means it depends on the issue. What's involved. Or should I go through some other route? All different alternatives you will think about, isn't it? So that sangalpam, first the thought came to go to manor. Immediately you don't jump into the car and drive straight. You'll think which way to go, isn't it? Which is the probably shortest or the less traffic route. You may think like that. So everything in this world, wherever mind is involved, it's like that. Mind will take its time to make a judgment on these things. Mind and the intelligence and the senses together. What here it says is, the soul doesn't require that kind of time to make the decision. Soul doesn't need it. Why? It's present everywhere. So it doesn't need that. It doesn't need that. These are subtle things, but only in realized state we will experience it. Only then you will understand that. We'll understand these things. So at the same time, when it says there, on one hand we say the soul is not moving. It's steady. Nischalam, it is called. And on the other side we are saying it is faster than the mind. Doing things. So what does it mean? It means that the soul has this problem, that soul has no conditions attached to it. No conditions attached to it. So in its pure state, no conditions can touch the soul. Soul is free to it can act straight away in any situation. That's why you remember that particular incident in the Bhagavatam, that when Sudev Goswami walked out from home, Vedavyasa Maharshi was calling him back. Putra, putra, he called him back, isn't it? But Sudev Goswami is in that platform, he is present everywhere. Sarvabhuta Hridayam, Muni Mana Tosmi, isn't it? When he is Sarvabhuta Hridayam, he felt there is no need to answer, particularly to Vedavyas. That was his feeling, because he is present in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart also. So why should I reply? That is his position. But still, to show to the world that he is present everywhere, the trees and plants answered. Trees and plants answered on behalf of Sudeva. All this is looking very difficult to understand, isn't it? When you think about it. But that is the state of realization. Soul means all these things. Soul is not a very limited thing. You can't limit the soul to anything. When Vedavyas called him back, putra putra, Sudeva Goswami didn't answer. Sudeva Goswami didn't answer. The creepers and the trees answered. But Sukadeva Goswami is concerned, Vedavyasa is hot also, I am there, present there. So there is no necessity for me to answer him. But to show to the world that he is present everywhere, the creepers and the trees and the plants answered to Vedavyasa. And in the same experience, afterwards, when Vedavyasa started walking, the women who were bathing in the temple tank, they took clothes and covered their body when Vedavyasa Maharshi went through that way. Vedavyasa thought, why they have done this to me? Whereas few minutes ago, Sukadeva Goswami walked that way, they didn't do that to him. Why? Sukadeva Goswami present in the women's heart gave the impression that he is in that state. Imagine that state, Vedavyasa, Sukadeva Goswami's state then. That even in the heart of the women who were there, they never felt the need to cover themselves. Why? They also felt Sukadeva Goswami's presence inside. It is the same one truth who is present in Sukadeva Goswami as well as in the women who are present there. They didn't feel the need to cover themselves. Whereas Vedavyasa Maharshi came, they felt the need to cover themselves. So Vedavyasa Maharshi asked that question and they answered it like that. They said, we've never felt that. These are very subtle side of the spiritual life. When you understand these things, you can see this going inwards and these sages, what they are telling us to understand is so important that when only then you can appreciate spiritual knowledge, spiritual realizations, what it all means. It's not something that we work hard and get it. That's not what it is. It's not something we work like we were, as I said before, that we have this misunderstanding in us that everything I got by working in this world, whatever money I have earned, whatever job I got, and whatever I have achieved in this world is all by working. So I start thinking spiritual life also has to be like that. I have to do a lot of work in spiritual life. Which this is the only place where it won't work. Everywhere else that will work. But this spiritual life is the only place where by working you won't get it. On the other hand, sometimes you may get it without working. It's by without working you get it. So this is the difficulty. Similarly, all these realizations, what Sudeva Goswami's example is showing to us, that he was so such a state of realization, his presence was everywhere. Presence was everywhere, every living entity. So every one of them, when they felt his experience, they never felt the need to cover themselves at that time. They didn't feel that experience at that time. So, like mind can travel, suppose you have knowledge of the heavenly planets or even Brahma's planet, Brahmalokam. The mind can travel there. It will take time to get there. But if you are on the spiritual planet, the soul is capable of getting there even before that, even before the mind. That's why it is spoken like that. So, why? Because the soul is present there also. Soul is present in that place also. So, that is why it is spoken that it is faster than the mind. Faster than the mind. Now, imagine the situation that when Sudeva Goswami left Naimisharanyam, Sudeva Parikshit Maharaj and Sudeva Goswami in Ganga River Bank, where they were speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami left that. And then Sukadeva Goswami said, if you want to hear Bhagavatam again, go to Naimisharanyam. Sudha will go there and he will speak Srimad Bhagavatam there. Even that was known to him. And even hundreds of years before, he could speak that this is going to happen there. It is not a yogic power as such. It is this presence of this Atmatattvam, presence of the soul, everyone. And Sukadeva Goswami also knew that this sacrifice will happen in Naimisharanyam. And he is saying this in advance. And Sudha will speak Srimad Bhagavatam there. Those who want to hear can go there. This is one of... That's why Sukadeva Goswami's position in spiritual life, because of this high state of realization all the time. All the time in that state. So, all the senses in the body, they are addressed as demigods. They are all demigods were present there. So they have not experienced, the senses have not experienced the soul yet. They have not experienced the soul. On the other hand, senses even do not have any, even a slightest knowledge of the soul. The senses don't have even the slightest knowledge of the soul. So senses are functioning there. This is where Upanishad comes in. Kathopanishad is saying, when the soul is present inside, they all have to do their work. They all can function. But soul has nothing to do with it. His just very presence is sufficient in the body. Just because he is present there, the senses are functioning. The mind is functioning. Intelligence is functioning. Everything is functioning. The moment he moves away, everything has stopped. Nothing can work. Nothing can work. Just like this heart also. Heart is functioning. How would you give an explanation this heartbeat? The day we were born, it started beating. And how will you explain that? You can't say it's a pump. Because if it's a pump, you have to change the gaskets and so many things in that. But many of us get through this life with this pump, isn't it? At least it lasts as long as we live here. And so from there you can see that the very presence of him inside is sufficient that all these things can happen. Without, he's not doing anything. He's just there. That's enough. That is the soul. That is the soul. Similarly, as I said about digestion, about many things in this body, it's all just happening without any interference from us. We, and I say us, our false ego, our ahankaram is not saying, oh, let me sort this out, my heart first. Do I any day think like that? Or do I any day think when I've eaten the food, let me check it out, what I should do about the digestion of the food? If it doesn't get digested, only then you'll start thinking about some solution, isn't it? So similarly about the sleep, what control do we have on the sleep? What control have we got? We have no control on the sleep. When suddenly you find that a state comes that somebody says to you, sleep now. You have to sleep. You have no choice there. So in all these things, practically you can see that somebody else is the controller. You are not the controller. You have no control over any of these things. And still we declare our independence about it, isn't it? So that is why it says here that senses cannot reach that space of the soul. Senses cannot reach the space of the soul. That although in material existence we experience the soul, we experience the different emotions in this world, in the material existence we consider good, bad, I'm happy, I'm unhappy, I'm enjoying, I'm suffering. All these different things, what we call, this is all based on material existence, isn't it? Based on the body and based on the mind and the senses. And we also consider that different people are having different experiences in this world. Different experiences in this world. Some people are suffering, some people are enjoying, and some people are working in an intelligent way, some people are working in a stupid way. All these things. So, but all these things are perceived through the mind, the senses and intelligence and everything. But soul has, in all these situations, that the prana inside us, which is directly under the, because of the presence of the soul, the prana also, the life air or the energy, what is functioning, that it functions without any of the interference of any of these things. Without the interference of any of these things. For example, that every time an action is decided, soul doesn't concern with the mind or intelligence. The action just happens. Action just happens, isn't it? That as soon as the decision is made inside, the one who is inside, he makes the decision that it is going to be, it has to be done, then the action just happens. Without even consulting the senses. No, I don't consult with my senses. Every time if I have to do something, consultation doesn't happen. There is no time for all that. Action just happens. Just to show to us, the one inside here, he is so powerful that he can make decisions when he wants and he can get the executions done without any consultation with anybody else in this world. So all our, what we call as cheshta. Cheshta means that our, how we conduct in this world, our activities. Every one of us different cheshta, isn't it? Cheshta means how we use the body and the mind and intelligence in this world to do different things. That is cheshta. So this cheshta, or the way we do things, is different for different people, isn't it? Who makes that decision? We all don't do in the same way. We all do different ways. Same thing we do in a different way, isn't it? So this cheshta, or this way we operate here, is conducted by him inside. He makes that decision and he gets it done straight away. You don't have given time to think, oh, somebody else is doing some other way. No. He makes a decision and he does it. So, so it is this life air in everyone that is the same thing that is making the fire and the sun, the clouds, and they are able to perform their work properly because of this force of the soul which is coming through them. Fire has to burn something. So where does that get that fire potency to burn? It is this force inside that's causing that. Inside means his presence there, causing that. The cloud has to rain, develop, turn into water later, isn't it? After, first of all, the water gets evaporated, become cloud. And cloud, this cycle that continuously the water gets evaporated, and then the clouds are formed, and the clouds have to turn into water and come back to this. So it's a cycle going on all the time. This cycle is performing because of his presence. Because of his presence in there. And Bhishma Asmadvayu Pavate. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there, in Kapila Vasudeva says this to Devahuti Devi, because they are frightened of me, this thing is happening. And who is me? Kapila Vasudeva referring to is this soul, is Chaitanya, this living force. It's frightened of that all this. Because otherwise, if you take simply as a person, Kapila Vasudeva says, because you're frightened of me. Krishna is also says, because frightened of me. Now, if you take simply on a personal level, you can ask, who is he frightened about? Is he coming on Kapila or is he frightened about Krishna? You can ask that question, isn't it? Do you know what I'm saying? The same Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, because of fear of me, the fire is burning, the clouds are raining, the wind is moving, all those things in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying like that. In the Bhagavatam, Kapila Vasudeva is saying, because of frightened of me, all this is happening. So, out of frightened of Kapila Vasudeva or frightened of Krishna, that is happening. That question will come. But the way to understand that is, Kapila Vasudeva and Krishna is referring to the same soul who is present in everything. And it is frightened of him. That is the source. That source from him, all these activities are happening. That's the only way to explain that. So, this is the Shruti. Shruti's difference is like that. So, in other words, without the presence of the soul, none of these things can happen. Just to stress this point again and again, that the moment we come to understand the potency of the soul, what soul can do in reality, in us, in this world, its function, the more we accept it, the more we will be attracted to self-realization. Otherwise, because we don't understand the gravity of the situation, that the soul's presence is so important in the creation. Without that, the creation doesn't exist. Without that, all our movements are restricted. Not only that, in every daily existence, the soul is control of everything, what we are doing, what we are not doing. Everything, he is the controller. That Chaitanyam or that living force. So we'll stop there for 10-15 minutes and then continue with Bhagavad Gita.